نحمده نصلي على رسوله الكريم المعمى قال الله تعالى بقرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والبرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي الفضل الغمر اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحابه وزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين أما بعد
الحمد لله Today again in our lives Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us one more night of Jummah and Allah has given us life and another chance that one more gathering of dhikr we can join as well. Before this we could have died. Death is truth, death is reality, and what a big reward we would have lost out. And Allah's great generosity, Allah's mercy, alhamdulillah, that this one gathering, through it our forgiveness we can attain and our status will increase and we'll get more rewards. So this is Allah's grace. We could have died before this gathering. So definitely Allah Ta'ala gives us opportunities. May Allah give us more and more opportunities that good deeds we do so that we can improve our hereafter. The life is such a thing, life, that life is connected to many other things, in which there's one important thing which runs along with the human being, part of life you can say, and that is sicknesses, illnesses. Doesn't matter how much we try to be saved, doesn't matter how much we try to be healthy, doesn't matter how much exercise we do, doesn't matter how much we try to prevent, but the sickness is going to come. There are various types of sicknesses and illnesses that we keep on experiencing from time to time in our lives, and we fight against those sicknesses. We try to save ourselves when then that sickness comes again. But a person cannot be saved from the sickness that is going to come. Somehow or other he falls into the trap of the disease or illness. It could be fever, cold, stomach upset, earache, toothache. Somehow or other, a person's afflicted. It's not just this due to old age. No, it's part of life. Even a young child is ill. A young child can get sick. Yeah? So what we realize is that we need to understand it's part of life. Ups and downs, sicknesses. But alongside this, Allah's great generosity to us, that Allah has given us the cures as well for the sicknesses. The cures, the remedies. And one such educational, mashallah, has given us a medical, you could say, field that Allah has given. And this is also a spiritual department, you could say, the medical field. So the medical doctors, physicians, they research sicknesses, they look into them, they develop medicines, they give names to the sicknesses. Sometimes we've got such a situation that the sickness comes and then after that the name is given. Because the sickness comes first, then afterwards the name is given. COVID came and COVID took everyone by surprise after that. Vaccines, injections, and kept on going and is still going. So to an extent, the sickness is in the control. Individuals can try to control it. But some sicknesses are such that there's no cure for that sickness. You can do research as long as you want, science, technology, look under the microscope. But that sickness will oppose all remedies. Because Allah says there's no cure for it up till now. And it doesn't seem as it might come. And the reason is that the Quran has spoken about this. That all the sicknesses can go, but that sickness, the cure for that, it cannot be done. They do it, people try it temporarily, they try to release some remedy, but there's no remedy. They can't fix that problem. And that sickness, that illness, that lots of people, even with high status, they might be on a status in the dunya, but they get afflicted by that sickness. And there's no cure for that. And most dangerous sickness, the most dangerous disease, the head of the disease, you could say. And thus, and in this, when a person is afflicted by this sickness, his situation is such that he is extremely unwell. But people don't consider him as sick. They sat in front of you, eating, talking to you, and he's getting involved in activities, but he's extremely unwell. And he can't even express his sickness. He can't, if he goes to the doctor, he will try to say to the doctor, but the doctor doesn't have a cure for that sickness. So it's a waste of time. Yes, they overlook him, they reject him. He says, do dua to Allah that we are safe from this. And only the person who is unwell knows that how dangerous this sickness is. What is that sickness? It is the mental sickness. Mental sorrow. Mental depression, you could say. In that, there's no peace or satisfaction, no tranquility. And you can try all the solutions. You can bring religion, Quran, dhikr. You can bring everything. And go to the other side. You can drink alcohol, try to fix it, try what you want. I want to get peace of mind. Peace of mind. But you can't get peace of mind. And that sickness, the name that's been given is stress or depression. Stress, depression. This is a very dangerous sickness. Somehow or other, an individual makes him anxious, frustrated. Yes, restless. Somehow or other. And what's the benefit? Medically, they'll give you that they will suppress the mind. They'll give you sleeping pills. They'll give you tranquilizers or antidepressants that they try to slow down the mind, slow down the brain. To this extent, the sick person, and he looks to you physically well, his wife, children are fine, but you hear that he's committed suicide. He was fine, totally fine. So death for that person, he thought is more precious, or not precious, but nicer than the life. He wasn't getting the enjoyment in life from anything. And he was going through stress, high stress. So somehow or other, a person who's got this sickness, I'm talking based on experience, and these sicknesses are present. And what's the reason for this? This sickness. Today, medically, we'll talk a little bit on the medical field. Because, mashallah, I'm not a medical student, but I've sat with doctors. And they, if I'm wrong, tell me that I'm wrong. And inshallah, please correct me so I can understand that what I'm saying is wrong. However, I speak about that point. I don't talk based on the books or what I've heard. I always speak about what I have experienced and observed in my life. And that I don't care about anything else, because I know better that I've experienced and observed that. I've gone through that myself. I've got the experience. Whenever I give dalil or proof to you, then consider that I'm not saying something I've heard. Myself, I've passed through that. That's why I'm sharing it. Whether spiritual, physical, when I say something authentic in front of you, then just keep accepting without any reason. No need for dalil. No need for dalil. Yes? So these young people, they understand when they say subhanallah. Yeah, Akil, mashallah, is very good boy, very nice boy, Akil. Mashallah, when he's passionate, then don't ask. Mashallah, he is on the high level. Very good boy he is. So now, what's the situation? So, listen here. Very important point, a very interesting point this is. That you can't get tranquility, peace, rest. Try all the solutions. Go to the sheikh, can't get it. So you lose hope, you get restless, totally lose hope. So what we realize is that the mind, the kitab, everything stops for the cure of this sickness. You can't get nothing. So when everything is closed, remember, in other words, ma'ashara, society totally slams the door in your face and there's no chance that you can be improved or taken care of, so dirty that there are idols all around you, sajda and sins and shirk, and there's nothing that can help you, then what does he say? Then the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, Allah's revelation. And all the brains and the efforts, Allah ta'ala says that their brains could run up to here, they finish now. Now Allah says, now I will speak here when there's no solution. And then the wahi comes. So Allah Ta'ala's Quran speaks, Ta'ala says, if there's a sickness, you can try to go to the human being and try your best to get a solution. O people of Iman, Allah is saying, I'm not telling everyone, so Allah is addressing the people of Iman, the people of belief. That if you have Iman, because the person who has Iman, he believes in Allah. Yes, so Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبِهِمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, this sickness, there's only one cure for this sickness. Just one cure through which depression and everything is finished. What's that? The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. That's the truth. 100% truth. Allah's revelation. There's no doubt. Allah has given the stamp. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Open your ears, take the wax out of your ears, listen carefully, attentively. Allah says, no doubt. Don't go left and right. Allah is saying, Allah says, I'm telling you the solution. No hakim, no doctor. Apart from this solution, there's no other cure. The dunya cannot cure this. And everyone loses hopes and gives up. And they give the physician, the doctor gives up. Allah says, I'll give you the solution. You have iman, you have belief. Allah says, I want you to succeed. The objective I created for you to prostrate to me, pray salah, do umrah, hajj, worship me. Allah says, I created you to do the good deeds. I gave you iman so you can practice good deeds. I've given the cure for the people of iman, not those who have no iman. What is that? Dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. That's the solution. Such a great remedy and cure is the dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah, that after doing dhikrullah, remembering Allah, this sickness is eliminated. Doesn't matter what level you've got this sickness. Mental anxiety, depression, stress, small scale, large scale. You see no other cure. And a person looks for the cure. A rich person, the richest people, the wealthy people, they'll have all the money. But they'll keep tossing and turning in the night on their mattress. Restless. Take a woman, and he's still restless. Take alcohol, restless. Take the woman you think as a solution. If you're rich or poor, there's no solution, even though he's going through all the anxiety and the depression. He's upset all the time, that person, or she is upset. And what they're upset about? Every moment in the brain, it keeps on swirling, the thoughts, the doubts, become dreams. And it can't come out of that person's mind, and he's overwhelmed. And he wants to get rich, he keeps on thinking about rich, I need to get a shop, run this business, do this trade, buying, selling. Anxiety, restlessness. There are different forms of restlessness. Not that you're mad or crazy. Is this a minor thing that when you're eating, you don't know that you're sleeping at that time? It's just revolving in your mind. It's just going rotating in your mind. The thought of what you're desperate for. So the insan, the human being, this is not natural for a person to keep on thinking. Wherever you are, wherever you're present, you should think about that. If there's something, it shouldn't be driving you. Like you're sat in front of me. And now what will happen to my shop? How will I run my business tomorrow? He's got this much money, lent to that person, I've borrowed this much, my shop's not running. You're sitting here and you're thinking about those things. Are you sick or not? Tell me. If you're thinking about those things. So it doesn't make sense. So if you've got a desire and attraction for something, it keeps on swirling in your mind. I've got to do this. I've got to go there. I want to do this. Even though you're in a different place at that time. So get the release from all of this so that your mind is empty, totally empty and at peace and has no concerns or worries. And to get us to that level, what is the medicine? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ Allah says. The dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. That's the cure, that's the medicine. And who is saying this? Not Mawlana Sahib, not a prophet. Who? Direct Allah's revelation to the people of Iman. Direct Allah is speaking. Now, whoever does not believe in this cure and they don't take the cure of dhikrullah, they run around the world for cures, they look for remedies and look for people and ask for advice for ending depression. They are those people who do not have yaqeen belief in Allah. They don't have iman, they don't have belief in the Quran. When the Quran tells us this remedy, then to go towards another solution, then that person is empty of iman. And to show the people of the world, he says he's a Muslim. Or she's a Muslim. The people don't call me a disbeliever. Don't call me a person without iman. To be saved from this sickness, the real test of iman is that when Allah is guaranteeing something in the verse of the Quran for an action, that this is that. And after that, he cannot be a mu'min if he doesn't use the solution of the Quran. The question doesn't arise. The whole world he can run after for a solution. The Quran is telling us this. Why don't I believe in the Quran? Yes. So sometimes we should test our iman, question ourselves, that we should not have any doubt in the solution Allah gives to us. This point Allah said clear, that's it, end of story. I accept what Allah is saying. I don't need to look for a secondary or another solution. Allah most definitely has given us a solution. So Allah says the Quran is shifa, it's rahmah for the mu'min, end of story. All the doors are shut. Shifa you will get from the Quran. The cure will come from the Quran. Allah has told us this. What's the method? If you're sick, for example. And what is the way of getting the remedy of the sickness? It doesn't matter how big the sickness is that comes to you. But the cure is present. So look at all the cancer. How should we start? What do we do? Oh, cancer. Straight to the doctor. Appointments, scans, chemotherapy, nothing. Allah says, Shifa is with me. The cure is with me. Where are you running to? Allah says, take the right route to the remedy. How to tackle the disease that you get? Come to me, Allah says. The master physician. Say subhanAllah. Allah says, come to me, the creator. And you are a believer, you believe in the Quran. What have I said? That everything has shifa and rahmah, mercy, both in the Quran, Allah says. The Quran is shifa wa rahmah for the mu'mineen, for the believers. That's it. And what we do? As soon as we get cancer, become alert, Allah says. You got this sickness, become alert. What should we do? First, step one, what should we do? Go towards Allah. What is the method of going to Allah? Immediately do wudu, pray 2 rakah salah, nafil. 2 rakah salah. And you should, a person gets so upset that he forgets Allah. He gets so scared, astaghfirullah. That when you hear that you've got a sickness, a disease, the human being gets so scared he forgets Allah. What shall I do? Which doctor's good? Which consultant? Which hospital? Which clinic? Private medicine? In other words, his brain starts to swell. He doesn't even know that Allah is there. This is our iman state today. Where's the Quran gone that you believe in which everything is present, all the solutions? Do you understand what I'm saying? So how do we tackle it? Straight away when you are afflicted by a sickness, turn to Allah, immediately pray 2 rakah salah and ask Allah for help. Allah says, Allah, I need help. Allah, I'm sinful. I've come to you. You've given me this method. And I start how? With tawbah, repentance is step number one. Through which? Step number one, because first of all you have to make friendship, isn't it? You have to make friendship with the learner to get his help. So you have to knock, if you're his friend, then you can knock on his door. Yes, what's the way to get to Allah? Is to get Allah's attention first, ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah, I was rude, I was sinful, I was doing wrong. Allah, I'm leaving everything, I've come to your door, Allah, I've come to you. And Allah, you say you are Ghafoor Rahim. Allah, please give me your Ghafar and your Rahmah. If you know that Allah is saying that after repenting I'm Ghafoor and Rahim and the Quran is saying this, then believe in this, Allah says. That's it. That the heavens and the earth is filled with rahmah, with the mercy. Allah says, even if your sins are filling the gap between the heavens and the earth, Allah, I'm coming to you, please forgive me all of my sins. Then Allah give me your mercy and your rahmah. Allah says, then this is the solution. So what makes us wretched is our weakness of our iman in the dunya. That is what takes us down. Allah subhanahu has given us majlis dhikr. Allah says, I send my mercies on the gathering of dhikr. Soon as the gathering of dhikr is established, Allah says, I fill the gap between the heavens and earth with angels. How much do we believe this? Yes, when somebody's coming early, halfway through, someone's coming 30 minutes late, at the end of the, is this belief, is this preparation for this gathering? I speak about myself to you. that when I was mashallah with my shaykh and I learned dhikr, Allah says that more you value and appreciate a blessing of Allah, Allah says according to that I will give you the strength of iman. Yes, the rabud. You know the status that you get close to Allah, qurb, nearness to Allah. How do you get the nearness to Allah? By valuing and appreciating what Allah has given to us, then you get close to Allah. If you value and appreciate, Allah has given me this, Allah has given me the gathering of dhikr. There are great, great hadith and Quran verses. The hadith, mashallah, you could read all day long. You could read the verses of the Quran. So many rewards to the highest limit. Forgiveness is common in this gathering. How do we come to the gathering? Allah says, come to the beginning of this majlis. Soon as the shaykh sits and the majlis starts, the heavens and the earth are filled with angels, and immediately the VIPs, that if somebody comes after, from all four sides, the angels surround this gathering, and everyone else is outside. And Allah says, nobody can come. Latecomer is a latecomer. Why? Because we don't value and appreciate the gathering. Oh, is dhikr, I'll go late. I speak about myself. With regards to ni'mah, bounty of Allah, I'll share with you that the preparation for the gathering Thursday night, I didn't start from today. I started from Wednesday preparing for the wallahi, I share with you that I started since when? Since Wednesday I prepared for this gathering. The day before. My food, drink, sleeping pattern changes. Ask. My schedule changes, my pattern, right? I say that I need to get the gathering of Thursday night. I will eat less, breakfast stops, and afternoon food stops, and in the evening I eat with caution. Until today, my whole 6 days and nights, they pass like this. I prepare for the gathering. And very careful diet, I sit with you after going through a careful diet. Ask. Why? Because I know that what is this gathering? I understand the value of this gathering. Yes, even if I die, I cannot be grateful to my Shaykh. That what was the great achievement of my Shaykh? That what you have told us, this great solution to our issues. But the one who doesn't, that same message when you give, then there'll be two groups. One will be those who appreciate and value, and those who are unthankful. They have no understanding we're doing dhikr, why are we coming, how are we coming. Oh, I've come, I'll do wudu here. I told you about my own preparation. MashaAllah, you are pious, I'm a sinful person. So I'm very careful. 2 days before I prepare for coming to this Thursday night gathering, the night of Jummah. You can ask. That from Wednesday, the day before I stop eating, I'm cautious. That I don't want my stomach to be upset. I don't want to get unhealthy. I don't want to get sick. That I can't attend the gathering. And that I can't get all the blessings of the gathering. So I start the day before preparing. The amount that you are thankful and grateful for Allah's ni'mas and His treasures, the more you value them. It's not a small thing, this gathering, Friday night this is. Do you understand what I'm saying? So never do this, take this for granted. Don't think this gathering is a minor. And those who come late, they lose out all the reward, because the angels have already surrounded the gathering in the beginning. So whoever comes in the beginning in advance, you see in the Jummah, the angels are stood at the door of the masjid, writing the name on the list of those who attend Jummah. Yes? And you think this is nonsense? These hadith, this is an ni'mah Allah is giving Allah, Sayyidul Ayyam, the day of Friday. And there should be a different style of life. Your libas should be different, your clothes should be different, your style should be different, your mind, until the evening, until Maghrib, your lifestyle should be different. You should realize that this is that day that Allah has chosen as the greatest day. I should be spending it in a different manner, more honor. After tonight, go, and I will start to prepare. And maybe after this gathering today, I will get some coffee and eat something that I've relaxed. That Friday night majlis, I've got it. I've gone through it. Let me eat something now. Then I can relax. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I'm just telling you, sharing with you my preparation. So what's this? What's this discussion? That no caution, no adab, no manners. How should we come to this gathering? Why? I'm telling you that this gathering on Thursday night, a normal person with the angels, great ruh, arwaz, come to this gathering. The people you doing, that your dhikr about, he himself comes there to see. Yeah, the world is free. There's no barriers, there's no limits. So according to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the ruh to that person who has more respect, more preparation, more adab. Why? Why do we say that we should wear special clothes on Jummah, wear sunnah libas, wear the imamah, sunnah turban, wear dhoti sharif? Because you'll be close to those practices through which Allah will give you His pleasure, and you'll get the complete reward of Jummah. Apply surma, fragrance, cut your nails on Jummah. All day spend, the day unique, different to the other days. And the Ummah, you should take a day off on Jummah. Yes, people don't even have a bath, they go to work. And oh, just got to pray Jummah time when we run to the masjid. Don't even have a bath. There are people like this. Do you know that when I start this, I'm grateful to Allah that Allah, I am not talking based on tradition and customs. I'm saying thankful to Allah, you've given us this night of Friday, this day you've given us another night of Jummah, and another Jummah tomorrow. You have to prepare. When I slept, I was gone when I slept earlier on. I was finished. Yes, I recited the kalima before sleeping. I'm telling you the truth. That's the method. We don't know if we're going to rise up again. So this is not a drama. Life. I know I could have passed away and I've come back again to the gathering. I'm so thankful to Allah that if I died in the morning, I was so down physically, then how would I have got this gathering? How would I have got this reward? Allah gives great opportunities to each one of us to earn. So this might look weird what I'm saying to you, but my words are honest and true what I'm telling you. Today, if you don't value and appreciate, then tomorrow we'll cry, if only I went to this gathering and I wore the libas of the Prophet and applied from fragrance, I was thankful, grateful to Allah, pray nafal on that great day, sat, arrived there with adab, go first to the gathering, arrive there early. Understand what I'm saying? So Allah Ta'ala has given us the Qur'an. Allah says, Qur'an is shifa, the cure. And we leave the Qur'an. Allah says, run to me. Doesn't matter if you're the biggest of diseases. Pray two rak'ah salah. Do tawbah. Allah, I've come to you. I repent. When you do tawbah, then your connection is made with Allah. Relationship. Allah Ta'ala then forgets all your previous sins. Oh, he's a new man. He's extending his hand for friendship. Allah says, what is it now? What's the issue? What's the sickness you got? Then you present your need. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. So if you're sick, say you got cancer, say, Allah, I've got cancer. Allah says, no problem. The cure started. The cure. Come to the asbab, the resources, the means. There are means, there are resources, tools. Come. Allah says, alongside that, first of all, Quran is shifa. Go to such a person, a guide, and when he gives you such verses, he recites them, you recite them, and you blow on the water, drink, or he'll put it on a piece of paper, you can put it around your neck, or do dam. The solution. For example, when we used to go, Hazrat Sahib used to come out in the morning and the whole line there was cold water. Hazrat Sahib would, mashallah, put his hand in the water. Is this not the hadith? The Prophet would put his hand in the water. Why? Because he was told that he's the Nabi. And he would take his blessings and then the sicknesses will go through the water and the effect will come. And when the hand went in, soon as a person is clean and pure, mashallah, hand is pure, and then he reads the verses, the dam on the water changes. And then you have to follow your yaqeen. How much is the servant got belief in Allah? And how much does he believe in Panadol or the capsules or the antibiotics? Do you understand? So the doctor comes after. First do tawbah, repent to Allah, turn to Allah, ask Allah for forgiveness for your sins. Then you come towards the Quran, you go to the cure, you read the du'as. The surahs, Allah said, recite this surah, recite this verse, and you start reciting for that, do them. Then you go to the medical doctor, what shall I do? Then when he gives the cure, then that cure, there will be, who puts the shifa in the cure of the doctor? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the cure. So if you are sick, you are unwell, the sins are the same, you're following shaitan, no tawbah, no repentance, and when you die, you'll go into hell. In case in your life, if death is there due to the sickness, you will go to paradise, if he does the right thing. So depends on what method he adopts to cure. So obviously all of us are going to die. Yes, so if you die in the right way, Allah says that you came to me, okay, go. Enjoy yourself in paradise. Understand what I'm saying? So why are we scared of death? This is another topic that's come out. Why are we afraid of death? A mu'min believer is not afraid of death. Scared of death. Nor is he upset. Nor is he worried. Nor is he up and down. If I say to you that there's a room in this house, come and stay here and I'll give you 5, 6 room, mashallah, furnished house, come to this. Will you not go to the bigger house from a one bedroom house? Of course you will. So Allah Ta'ala is saying this, that you are stuck in this dunya, come to me, your mansions, palaces are made, sleep here with ease in the hereafter in paradise. Are we mad that we are scared of dying? Why? Then you'll ask the question, then why do people cry in the dunya then when someone dies? Why is there sorrow, pain? The question, isn't it? So the sorrow is not for leaving the world. The sorrow, you should have sorrow. When a person dies, definitely be sad. But what should be sad about? That not about he's left the world, because he's free from this wretched world now. Yeah, he's in the better place now. And now our home, it's like if, for example, I sat here and I speak on the phone to India, say, and you give the answer, that's the same. Person who dies, transfer of place. So, for example, you send the ethal reward, he'll give you dua back. The person who's died. Yes, he will come in your dream. He will speak to you as well. Same. I'm telling you the truth. Just because we're in the other side of the world, we talk to people in the Indian subcontinent. The person who's died, for example, you're in India, I'm here, you called me by phone, how are you? Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Same way, what's this connection? That you read, do a good deed, ask Allah to convey the reward to that person who's died. When that dua reaches the dead person, he is happy and he replies to your dua. Simple, Allah's made that principle. What's the problem with that? But who have we got a connection with? Who with, tell me? How many people do we do good deeds and we ask Allah to convey the rewards? How many? We just waste our time. No mother, no father, friend, no sheikh. When I die, you'll forget me as well. Who'll do dua for me when I pass away? Yeah, this is the dunya. Yes, all the favors, they are forgotten. Yes, so before getting up, recite 3 times Surah Ikhlas. I give this word to my mother. MashaAllah, the duas come to that person. What will be the reply? The peace will come to that person who's passed away. And your dunya, somewhere you will have a problem, stuck, you'll be somewhere in some issue. The dua of the mother will come and use to you. When your mother is alive, that is, mashallah, even when she's 5 foot down, buried, and she does dua for you, that will help you. Mashallah, why don't you get the dua from the mother, from the sheikh, from the teacher? Do you understand what I'm saying or not? Is this the case or not? So death, why are we sad? Why do we cry when someone dies? For this reason. Not this, that the person's gone. We shouldn't even cry when someone dies. Yes, we cry because we're selfish. Why? Oh, I'm split from the person. He was good. He used to sit with us. He used to talk to us. I feel sad that you're sad that person's gone. There's a gap now. He was a big person gone. The sheikh's gone. Oh, there was a lot of benefit from him in the world. He was such a good person. How would we get a friend like that? That's the sadness you should get. He was a pious person. I was positively influenced. And mashallah, if he gets a good place in the hereafter, we shouldn't be sad about that. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. So a different approach in what I say. Different approach. Yes. So is there something to cry about when a good person dies and goes to a better place? So what was I talking about? Today's important topic was الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَتْمَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah says that this dunya, all of the sicknesses, the root cause, what is the cure of all the sicknesses? Dhikrullah. Who is saying this? Allah. The root, the worst disease, if Allah Ta'ala has told us we believe in this, a mu'min, Allah is addressing the believers. So what's there to be afraid of? Allah Ta'ala says the worst disease, if it has no cure, then imagine all the other sicknesses if we do dhikrullah. Say subhanallah. If depression, stress has the cure through dhikrullah, which is the worst sickness, then all the other sicknesses, there's the cure, isn't it? So do you understand this? Let's progress now. So totally be careful. Open your ears. I'm about to say an important thing. And inshallah, allow your mind to understand. Yes? You won't hear these words again, similar to this. Question. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تَطْمَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Do my dhikr, Allah says, and I'll give you the cure. Oh, yaar, I went to a sheikh, I learned dhikr, I do 1,000 tasbih, 2,000 tasbihs, and I don't have the cure. Huh? People say this. Yes, they make a complaint, and they have a problem. Yes, they can't get the cure. So here, listen carefully to what I'm saying. What's the answer to this? The Quran cannot be wrong. Shaitan saying it's wrong. Tell me, why is iman not coming to you? Why? Well, you worried then. that you go and sit and dhikr in the gathering with the sheikh, with the teacher, and still you got worries, you can't sleep at night. And the problem you got, the worries, is still there. The same you were before, and the same you are now. Am I right or wrong? People have this experience. This complaint. Then, has anyone got the answer for this? Mawlana Sahib? When Allah said in the Quran that you will get the cure, there's nothing to be worried about. You could say, I do dhikrullah, I go to the sheikh, I got the teacher. Still I've got problems. If you've done dhikr and you remember Allah, but still my heart is feeling low, still I've got worries, still I'm not at ease. We complain. Because the dunya is a very dirty place. It's the biggest sickness, the root of all sicknesses. The root of all sicknesses is love of dunya. Love of dunya. Depression, to stress, take all the sicknesses. Where do they start from? Love of the dunya. Hubbud dunya. Hubbud dunya. Love for the material things. This is very khabis, wretched thing. It's the worst disease, sickness that destroys human being is the dunya. Love of the dunya. So we don't understand. What shall I do? Dhikrullah. Hazrat Sahib give me tasbih, the sister says, the brother say, I'm following the prescription, the formula my sheikh's given, but I've not got peace in heart. What shall I do, Allah? Shall I leave dhikr? The question, oh, yeah, leave doing dhikr. And I've seen people running away from here, from the gathering, from doing their own dhikr. They run away, they leave iman. Those people who I used to pray salah before, who was imam, he says, I don't believe in hazab, I don't believe in the deen. And that time I didn't have the answer in my mind. But today I'm giving it the answer. Hakimul Ummat also gave the answer for this. All the mashayikh gave the same answer. What's the answer they gave for this? The Alisi saying the name of Allah, at least there's a benefit, there's no greater benefit than that. Yes, this is not the answer, is it? This, the Naqshbandi can give the answer for this. The Naqshbandi shaykh person can give. So hands up if you understand and enjoy what I'm saying. If you understand what I'm saying up till now, put your hands up. If you really understand what I'm saying, do you understand? Okay, then listen further. So what's the answer for this? This is not an answer that I'm saying the name of Allah. That's tawab, that's wood, but the sickness is there. But we need the cure for the sickness, that I've not got peace in my heart, I've got depression, mental stress. Mawlana Sahib, at least I want to sleep in the night. What shall I do? I've done so much dhikr, I'm tired, but I still feel restless. What shall I do? So here, one Naqshbandi Shaykh, may Allah Ta'ala put mercy on his grave, about him as a Shah Abdul Aziz, Rahmatullah, said that he is the Imam of his time. That was his maqam. Qazi Thanaullah Pani Patti, Rahmatullah. His Shaykh was Hazam Mirza Mazhar Jane Jana, Rahmatullah. And he opened the solution for this question. And the same verse. He said, there's a difference in your understanding. He said, listen now. What is it? He said, there's a difference in your understanding that you've not understood dhikrullah. Then he explained. Listen, respected scholars. This verse. Alladheena amanu tatma'innu qulubuhum bidhikrillah. Ala bidhikrillah tatma'innu al-qulub. Bidhikrillah, Allah said, bidhikrillah. This is the point. So Allah says, peace can come in the heart, but that's when you can get success, when peace comes in the heart. Tranquility. So he explained this point. He said, the reward for this, the reply, mashallah, he gave a great reply. Because Allah Ta'ala, when he gives understanding and gives a person maqam and understanding of the Quran, there's understanding of the Quran, isn't it? Not this that you just read it and you think you understand it. There's levels of understanding. So, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah gives you benefit, it will give you tranquility, the Quran is right, but read the Quran. What does it say? That, what does bah mean? Bah, bi dhikrillah. So technically, the explanation that from bah, the meaning that comes out in this verse, the real benefit of taking from dhikrullah, this means, is that it's not dhikr doesn't give you the effect, it's within dhikr that there's the benefit. Within dhikr. It's not by doing dhikr, it's within dhikr. So, it's not along with doing dhikr, but it's within the act of dhikrullah that you get the benefit. Try to understand carefully, I'll explain a bit better. So, with and within, there's a difference. There's a difference. When a person tries to get benefit from doing dhikrullah, he can't get the benefit. Depression is there, the sickness is there, but the benefit that you are getting within, whilst doing dhikr, that's what you need to understand. Understand the point? So, it's not some minor person I'm talking about here. Is it Mulana Sahib? So now listen to the next. What's with and along with? What does it mean? What's within and after doing dhikr? What does this mean that along with dhikr you can't get the benefit, but within you can get benefit? You haven't asked this. What's the difference? Akil, you understand? Then listen to this point. So what's the difference here? I'll explain. I'll give you the example. Okay, so the question is this, that tell me this, that the fish, that does the fish get satisfaction inside the water or outside the water? Where's the fish more happy? Where? Inside the water. So it's inside the water, it's when the fish is inside the water. So what does that mean? Is that if half the fish is inside water, it's inside water, isn't it? And half is outside the body, but it's wet. Half is inside the water, and half is outside. And if with the water, there was enjoyment, but it's inside the water, but even then, it wants to go inside the water to get the peace, to get the happiness. The fish wants to be inside, immersed. Do you understand that? It's clear to you, isn't it? Even though it's wet when it's half the body. So the fish is in the water. Yeah? So the water inside is immersed. The fish. That's where it's got the peace. It's not that it's got water on top of it. It's inside the water. Yes? So half the fish is inside and half the body is outside the water. So it's attached to the water, but it's not in the water that half. So what this means is that the fish is desperate that put me inside the water. Soon as it goes into the water, what happens? Then the fish is at peace and it's happy in its surroundings. Understand? That's the one example there. So, same way dhikrullah, you have to be immersed in dhikrullah and you will get the benefit. Immersed in dhikrullah. Understand the difference here? Within. So, you won't get the benefit when you're totally immersed and occupied in doing dhikr and your whole body is doing dhikrullah, that's when you'll get the benefit. Not just by being associated with that person, will never complain. Rather, he'll have a different level of life, different category of life. So now understand, not just by doing dhikr, not just by reciting, no. You have to be immersed in dhikr, connected, intertwined. You do tasbih, 1000 tasbih, 2000 tasbih, but if you're within dhikr, if you're immersed, you should be diving into the dhikr of Allah. Inside you it should be. And those people who dive into dhikr, they'll never complain that they're not peace. I've never heard a wali Allah or a student, they, mashallah, they say that I get total satisfaction in dhikrullah when I'm immersed in doing dhikrullah, when that's my life. So now if you say, what does this mean, being immersed? Then how do we drown and dive into the dhikrullah? How? We'll all realize that who is the dhak and who's not. Yes, all the complaints will go. All the complaints will go. All the doubts will go. So that's why I'm saying this. I'm not talking based on ilm. I am speaking so that we can do our islah and improve or correct. I'm not doing this, explaining to you so that you become pious or waliz Allah. I can tell you many good things that even then you won't understand what I'm saying. I could give you many explanations. But this is practical so that me and you, we can improve ourselves and become better. That's the reason why I'm speaking about this. So these points, I could tell many points about dhikrullah. And when you'll stay here all night long and listen. But the point is, this is why I'm sharing this, so that we can improve, so that are we dhakir or no? Are we wasting our time? How do we get tranquility? What's the benefit that dhikr, this gathering, this majlis, what will it give to us in hereafter? So that's why I said that Hajj, Umrah, Quran, Salah, Ibadah, all of your deeds are a waste. They're not giving you any benefit. There's a chance that you gain no benefit. All your deeds, all your worship, But if your dhikr is not given the benefit, then how will your practice give you benefit? How will your worship? So how do you get it? Me and you, the basis of our success, listen carefully to this, is that we should be immersed in Allah's remembrance all the time. How? That you should, not part of you should be away from the remembrance of Allah. No part of you. No part of your life. Just like the fish. The fish, little bit of the body comes out, the water is not at peace. Soon as it says, take me in fully, I want to be in the water. Then the fish will be at ease. So Allah Ta'ala says, my servant, that's why I created dhikr. Allah says, immerse yourself in my remembrance. No part of your life should be away from dhikrullah. Then you cannot be free from hubbud dunya, the love of the dunya. Even while you're dying, you'll be counting money on your hands. I'll tell you truth, events. People are counting. Yes, because hubbud dunya, love dhul. But then you're doing dhikrullah, your mind is thinking about money, my accounts, my bank, my money, send this here, transfer there. You cannot release this from your mind. Why? Because half of us is out, away from the remembrance of Allah. And we're not immersed in azums. But wahid, the thing that can save us from love of the world, completely shelter us and shield us and protect all our deeds and take us to Jannah, is to be away from hubbud dunya and to do the remembrance of Allah. You understand this point now? You understand this point? Why? Because I've said it before, not this that I want to make a group, except that we're here for our islah, to improve ourselves, correct ourselves. Yes? That I want to be immersed in dhikr, not be just doing dhikr. I want to be immersed in dhikr. This is my meaning. Not just say, you wah, wah, subhanallah. There's no benefit to me. Understand the point I'm making. That this time I've taken from you is for this reason. Now I'll explain to you how to be immersed in dhikrullah. So that we can do that. What are we doing? Put your hands up if we'll practice this. MashaAllah. Good, good. The jamaat is strong. Good. Yes, I'm talking about benefit, isn't it? Well, I'll just tell you the points and I waste your time. And we say, wah, wah, subhanAllah, we understand. But practically, how do we implement this? MashaAllah. Yeah? They'll call this Mulana Sahib, call that Mulana Sahib, let's have a speech. Understand the content. So our whole body, internally, externally, should be remembering Allah. If you want to take benefit from dhikr, and dhikr is the greatest deed. Yes, Allah has announced, Allah bi dhikrillahi, Allah has given a stamp of approval, confirmed that dhikrullah is the road to peace in the heart, tranquility. How? How do we get immersed? Just like the fish, physically half of it was outside and it wasn't happy or at ease. Just like that, wasn't it? Same way, what should we be? That we're doing a deed, reading Quran, practicing dhikr, we're doing everything. But our half of our body is out. What's that mean? What does that mean? Understand the point. Sin. Sin. When you commit a sin, it's like half your body is out of the water, like the fish, half was out of water, and half of it's inside. You understand? When you're sinning. So, just like the fish was in the water and it came out, it started to shake, and it was upset. And half of us, we are practicing salah, hajj, fasting, zakat, zikr, but half our body is outside exposed because we're doing sins at the same time. We're worshipping, we're doing the remembrance of Allah, and we're sinning at the same time. In other words, we're sinning and we're doing amal. We're doing hajj and we're doing sins. We're doing dhikrullah and we do 100,000 tasbih, and alongside we're sinning as well at the same time. So then where will the tatmainul qulub come from? How will the peace in the heart come from? Understand the difference? So you have to immerse yourself in dhikrullah. How? By shunning how? By leaving the sins, migrating from the sins. Yes? So the question will not arise if you're not sinning, that the believer can succeed if he's got the sins attached to his body. For example, you won't get the benefit of salah or hajj or reading Quran. You will not get the benefit of any ibadah if you're sinning at the same time. You can make a hafiz, scholar, whatever. But if you are immersed, immersed in Allah's remembrance, and you do 100,000 tasbih, you don't even need to do with Allah's fadl. Even 10 tasbih, just one tasbih will take you to the highest level, as long as you're not sinning at the same time. Subhanallah. Soon as the fish, the whole body is in the water, even if the water's not deep, even if it's shallow, that it can just go inside, then the fish is happy. The fish is happy. And you, if you shun the sins, reject the sins, even if you do the smallest of deeds, you will get to the nearness of Allah. You will get to the close to Allah. And all the tajalliyat, the beautiful magnificence of Allah, you will start to appreciate. Your lataif will succeed. Your spiritual points. Why? Because we sin at the same time as practicing. We sin because we reject Allah. Hubbud dunya is such a big sin that we can imagine how your mind, your body, your heart is affected. The backbiting, slandering, all of these come from love of the dunya. Love of the dunya. Remember this. So this is the action we need to go after. So we, if we reject the sins, leave the sins, and then go towards Allah's dhikr, then you will be immersed in the dhikr of Allah. And then you will get tranquility, peace, happiness, beyond the levels. And this is difficult for us. Everyone can do tasbih, everyone can remember Allah, everyone can do hifz of Quran. Yes, every child, mashallah, they're ready. They do hifz of Quran, memorization. What great mission. If you set them down for a few years, they become hafiz. 5 years old, you sit them down, teacher, ustad, and one, even today we see 1.5 years alim courses, people become scholars, shortcut. Yes, it doesn't take long to get a certain achievement. Yes, pray nafal, and that's it. If you want to do hajj, mashallah, buy the ticket, go on hajj, one after 1 week you come, oh, you come back already, oh yes, I've went, subhanallah, and you can see that his hair's cut, and mashallah, there's nothing on his face, just the haircut on the head. That he hasn't left the sins, the hajji. He's the same. The haji comes back as bhaji. Worse. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. It's just money is wasted. Wasted his time. Comes back and carries on sinning. So why has Allah said one hajj? Why has Allah said one hajj is enough? For this reason, that one hajj of yours, if it's done properly, then if you immerse yourself in the hajj in the conditions, then you'll come back a changed person. Yes? That hajj, all that Allah Ta'ala calls you for His love, but we don't go ourselves. Allah is calling us. Allah is inviting them. When you do that one hajj properly, Allah says, you haven't come for so long, I want to see you, come back to my home. The Holy Prophet will invite himself, come back, you haven't come for so long. Say subhanallah. Yes, so when you go like this, when you do one hajj, that's enough, you're free. If you do it properly, because you're immersed in Allah Ta'ala's remembrance and repentance, all the sins you took, you come back with more, and you come back with dates and zamzam and more sins than you left with. So don't take back what I'm saying, but this is what we're doing nowadays in this era. What is this? So one action, remember my friends, if you want to be successful in this world and the hereafter, what is that? Then immerse yourself in the action you do. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Go into it, inside it, not with it. Go inside it. So if you're doing something, no. Go inside the action. In other words, remove the sins when you're doing dhikr. Remembrance of Allah. That's what I said to you. That we're half outside and we're half inside. Immerse yourself by rejecting the sins. You'll have to leave the sins if we want to get peace in the heart. If you want peace in your heart, tranquility. Quran is truth. Allah's kalam is truth. Allah's words are truth. And if Allah is saying it in the Quran, Allah says, if you're doing dhikrullah, if you're within the dhikrullah, how can you be within dhikrullah? By leaving the sins. Clear now the point what I'm saying or not? Tell me. Or shall I explain more? Is it clear? So if this is the case, don't be happy, I'm doing this much tasbih, I'm remembering Allah, I do this much, I recite Allah's name. No. You have to immerse yourself, go within the action. So don't have haram in your life, don't sin. All the things Allah has prohibited, reject them, reject them. Divorce all the sins. Divorce all the sins. Then see the light that comes in your life. You become so light. Light as a butterfly. Then you won't be scared of death. You say, Allah, I'm waiting for death. I remember one pious predecessor, I can't remember his name. He said, mashallah, he was a principal of Deoband Madrasa and he died. He was quite sick and he was suffering from illness. You know people? And the people went to me and said, Hazrat, I'm so sad. He said, why are you saying this? He said, bring my shoe. Why are you sad? You've come here to be sad that I'm sick and I'm about to die? Why are you sad? He said, it's straightforward. I can't remember his name now. He said, why are you sad that I'm sick? He said, you're sick, I'm sad. He said, foolish person, that you're doing dua, and I'm about to go to Allah and you're saying you're sad? Why am I dying? This is the desire he had for death, to see Allah. This is the dua of the Prophet. That Allah, give me that desire that I have a good death. Is death something to be scared about? That mashallah, you die and you're going to meet your Lord, your friend, Allah. Yes? But these are the people who are immersed in Allah's remembrance. But us, dunya doesn't come out of our life. We've got so many issues. We don't pray salah. So I said to you, this is the deception of the nafs. Believe this point I'm telling you, that nothing will assist us until we keep on doing the sins. When you reject the sins and then you worship, then you'll see the taste. Pray salah, you leave salah, you'd pray in the shop, you pray in the warehouse, pray in the dunya. Everything we play games with, deeds. There's no standard in our life of our deeds. And sunnah, we don't care about the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. When the Quran is telling us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولَ عَلَيْهِ أُسْوَةٌ حُسَنًا. The Quran is saying, أَتِي رَسُول فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. The Quran is saying by following, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Allah says, if you want Allah's love, if you want through Salah, Hajj and Quran, Allah's love, that's nonsense. Allah says, they will not get my pleasure through these actions. Allah says, follow my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, you won't get success through ibadah. You can't reach to my nearness. Why are you speaking nonsense? Allah says, you cut your beard, you trim your beard, you reject the sunnah, you laugh at the sunnah, you do haram actions, sisters don't have hijab, you look at women, you run after girls, you look at the screen on your phone and nakedness, and you jahil, you think you're going to get close to Allah? قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Allah says, that if you want my love, Allah says, there's no deed that can earn Allah's love. Whether you're Deobandi, Bareli, Ahl Hadith, Salafi, Ali, everyone Allah's speaking to. Keep on fighting, quarreling. But Allah says, one principle, Allah says, that you will bring you close to me. For Deobandis, for Brelwi, for Ashik Rasul, for the lovers of the Prophet ﷺ. And who are they? Ahl Hadith, Gair Mukallads. Allah says, you can keep fighting, quarreling, but everyone's the same principle applies, Allah says. One principle, that if you love Allah, if you want Allah's love, then you must follow my Nabi ﷺ. What is this? Allah says that all of what Allah has explained in His kalam, Allah says, love my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow him. In your hand I will give you the destiny, Allah says, success. What a beautiful point is stated. Yes, this is the Quran that Allah has revealed to us. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Surah Al-Imran. Allah says, step back. I love you now. Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Allah says, say, O Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, tell the Muslims, do they want the love of Allah? فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then they must follow the Prophet ﷺ. What a great maqam he has. What a great status he has. We can't reach that. He was hazir nazir. We're fighting over his status. Who are we speaking about, quarreling about? Allah says, understand who he is. What can you imagine about the Prophet ﷺ? What dalil are you presenting? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu couldn't understand what was the status of his friend, the Holy Prophet. He couldn't understand his rank, his status, what he was, what he wasn't. Abu Bakr Siddiq couldn't get to that knowledge. And Allah said, just in us, that this dunya, this world, this universe are made for his sake, for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was nothing in the universe, nothing at all. And there was nothing, nothing existed, this hadith sahih. Allah Ta'ala said, first and foremost, the scene that was sketched was what? Hub. Love. Allah Ta'ala created what? Hub. Love. Allah created love first. There was nothing existing in the universe. Then Allah said, I gave the form, the image to love in this world, in this universe. What was the form I gave to love? Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Tasawwuf, high level maqam, I'll tell you. High level of tasawwuf. There was nothing in the universe. Allah, listen carefully. Deobandi, Brelvi, you argue with each other, talk nonsense. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. There was nothing in the universe, nothing existed. Just Allah. Allah said, there was nothing. And then Allah said, my rahmah, my mercy came into being. Then I created hub, love. Then Allah Ta'ala said, after that came everything else. So muhabbat, Allah said, I wanted to give a form, an image, a shape to the love. And there was nothing at that time. Allah Ta'ala said, I want to give a shape of whom? That I made Ahmad. Allah said, I made Ahmad. Listen carefully. What is Ahmad that Allah Ta'ala created? Allah said, I transformed into Ahmad because meme in Ahmad, the meme, it is from the love, muhabbat. If you take the meme out, Sumal Ahad, Ahmad. Ahad, Ahmad. If you have the meme. Understand the difference. Allah is one, and Ahmad is his Nabism. We say we are lovers, and we fight over the understanding of what his status was. So Allah made Ahmad. Why? First I made love, Allah said. Then Allah said, I put meme, the love, into Ahmad. It became Ahmad. Allah said that this is what I want, that people understand, the whole world understands. So after this, I will make the human beings. And that's why Allah made us. to remember him, to recognize him. Every person, Allah Ta'ala says, when I make a person, I make a sketch, a form, a face. Allah said that I'm seeing here, I feel that the people see the person and praise him. Because I want him to be praised, this picture, this form that I've made. And whoever praises him, they will praise me. Allah is saying, whoever praises the Prophet, Ati Rasul faqad ata Allah. Allah says, so first, Mullah Sahib, do you understand what I'm saying? That's the sequence. First follow the Prophet, then you'll please Allah. So I said that this is what I want, is that we praise the Prophet, and then you will have praised me, Allah says. You follow him and you will have followed me. You obey him, you will have obeyed me. A beautiful principle Allah has made here. Yes? Allah said the universe was nothing. Then what did Allah do? The Ahmad, Allah said, I took the meem out and then I put it back. Then Allah said, Ahad, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah created him. Muhammad was created, then Allah announced. Imagine this. That he is the greatest of creation and everyone must follow him. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala announced. Who is he, Allah? He is that guy that I will bring in front of you. Allah says, I love him. Allah says, I love him. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Muhib and Mahbub. So Allah Ta'ala made the levels of the beloved and he who loves him. So total clear according to the hadith, I'm explaining this to you. No sect, no group. Brelwi, they even believe in what I'm saying. Just quietly accept what I'm saying. Quietly accept. This is the aqeedah of Deoband. They give fatwa, disbeliever, Muslim, etc. Nobody is a disbeliever. Everyone accepts the same Messiah. Yes, everyone's just running after food and money and wealth to make the groups. The mashallah, the purity of the Deobandi's aqeedah, nothing can compete. Otherwise, I'd never be Deobandi. So I'm telling you that the levels here. What did you know? That if you don't understand, there's no cure. Then if I explain to you the points and how the knowledge is, that Allah says, Yuhib Mahbub. Allah said that I am the one who loves and he is my beloved, Allah says. I am the one who loves and he is my beloved. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah explains further. I announce in the whole universe that every atom particle should see my Mahbub, my beloved. Ma khalaq al-awwal, Allah says in the Quran, that he says, first and foremost, Allah says that I created the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why the whole of the heavens and the earth sing through Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Does anyone do ibadah? Does Allah do ibadah? Does Allah pray salah? Does Allah do hajj? Does Allah do umrah? No. But one action Allah does, that on his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah says, even I send durood. What does this mean, durood? That I created him. I created him, so I want to praise myself. That what a beautiful being I've created. Allah says, if I praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you should also praise him. Yes? No one can create what I have created, Allah says. So on this, Allah has given us his great favor. And the great favor he gave to us, Allah's karam, his mercy, that the ummah will come and there will be the nation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, I give you a mercy and a favor, a bounty, a big favor of Allah upon us. Allah says, you have a permission. Muslims, that you can imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have permission from me, Allah says. Yes, it's some simple thing. Yes, that for example, Allah says, how dare you, Allah could say that. Don't wear the clothes that my Mahbub wears. Don't wear, follow him. Allah could say that to us. Just like my wife is, I don't want any other woman to do the same. I don't want my sister or my relatives, because I've got all these clothes I bought for my wife. I don't want anyone else to wear those clothes. Understand? She's my beloved. My wife, I don't want anyone to wear the clothes she has. I don't want anyone to look like her. Because I like her, she has a unique look. I don't want anyone else to imitate her. Allah Ta'ala says, I prefer that Allah's Nabi Sallam is haq. How will you fulfill the right of the Prophet? Is every action will be such that you are dependent on that, Allah Ta'ala says. That the whole universe will be envious on every action. When he raises his finger, the moon will be split, it will stop. When he smiles, then his smile, the glow will spread across the world. When he walks, then all the tide and the layers of the oceans will be happy. When the Prophet Sallam was walking. When he smiles, then when his teeth glow and shine, then the whole world will shine and glow due to the shine and glow from his blessed teeth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine how Allah created the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his majesty. And that's the praise he's given to his Nabi. And this is the aqeedah of the Deoband. Is this or not, tell me? Yes. Deobandi head, Hazrat Qasim, Nanotwi, rahmatullahi alayhi. He wrote a naat and a sheed. Mashiyat-e Haqq-e Anwar se. So today this Ajiz heard that verse. I said, he's written this and I can write it as well. Alhamdulillah, such a naat of mine, mashallah. MashaAllah, Hazrat wrote this naat, and on top of that, I extended that nasheed. What a great naat this is. Whole night it took me to read this. What a beautiful point, subhanAllah. So this is a very blessed, lengthy nasheed. So one point I mentioned here about the moon, the stars, the galaxies, the universe, the sun. And this is, mashallah, a reflection of the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I did dua that night, Allah. I said, Hazrat wrote this naat. I really like this, Hazrat Qasim ibn Utbi sahab. I heard this, I didn't sleep. I said, also I want to write further than this. MashaAllah, that was the special attention of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I wrote that. I couldn't even think that I can write a naat like this. Couldn't even imagine. And mashallah, listen to this naat, it's uploaded. You'll be amazed at what is this naat, what are the words in this nasheed. So anyhow, the point is extended quite long. Today we're talking about the love that Allah Ta'ala has created. And the fish, if it's into the sea properly, into the water. So are we still outside? Are we with it or are we within it? Have you drowned and immersed yourself? Immerse yourself in the remembrance of Allah. Fight yourself, fight the sins. And if you want to be successful and live in this world and become successful, for thereafter no action will help us, no fasting will help us, no hajj. All is nonsense, the deeds we do, unless one condition totally confirmed, I'm telling you. Confirmed. We're deceiving ourselves, we're just worshipping empty. We have to wash our lives from the sins. There's no need to work hard out of that. Allah says, I'll make you my beloved servant just by leaving the sins. So work hard on this. And where Allah Ta'ala has brought us to here, Allah has given us a silsila, the order, Allah has given us tawbah, repentance, dhikr, morning, evening. One action we need to do, وَجَهَدُ فِينَا, struggle and put the sins behind us. Don't even if you're doubt, leave the sin if you want to be successful. Otherwise, remember, in this world we'll be wretched, and in hereafter wretched with the salah, fasting, with the hajj, and Allah will drag us and throw us into the hellfire. Listen to this carefully. So, what was that verse? Allah says in the Quran that when we will be presented to Allah in the hereafter, which people? The sinful people. St. Paul, find out Jahannam. Immediately they'll be thrown into hell. Totally clear, Allah Ta'ala has told us, with the sins. Anyone who comes to me in the hereafter and he sinned in the world, straight into hell, that person will be thrown. And what will be the punishment? What will be the punishment? That person will stay there. In the world, you can take the biggest punishment of this world, take the biggest punishment of this world. What can it be? The worst case scenario. That hang a person. That's the worst case, isn't it? 14 years, 5 years, 6 years, imprisonment in the cell. But the worst case punishment in a court is hang that person. Allah says that's a minor punishment. The sinful person who dies and goes to Allah in the hereafter, who did haram, ate haram and goes to Allah, who lied and comes to Allah, who backbited and goes to Allah, who did zina, adultery in this world and goes to Allah in the hereafter. That individual will be the punishment. Allah says that he won't die nor will he be alive. He'll be in between in the fire. Is this truth or not? Tell me. You'll not be alive, nor will be die. Constantly in the fire. I can't remember that verse exactly. SubhanAllah. So Allah says alongside that a person who comes with good deeds, a person who leaves sins and comes to me with good deeds, then what does Allah say? What did Allah say? Tell me. Allah says, I will take you to such high levels that Jannatun Tahti al-Anhar, beneath which rivers will flow. Is this not the verse? Yes. Mawlana Sahib just recited. This is the Quran. So how can we be safe in the sins? Allah says, just do one thing. That a person who passes away with the sins straight into hell, and the chains will drag that person constantly. Yes. But if you, me, us, if we leave the sins, we keep on leaving the sins and die with the good deeds and arrive to Allah, Allah says that's a different situation. Allah says, darajat will give you the highest of levels. So today we have time, we still have time. Believe, I died this morning, I was so unwell, I tried, but I thought I died, I was so unwell, I recited the kalma, I put my finger up, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan rasulullah, I thought I'm finished, I was so unwell. That's what death is. Then Allah gave another chance, gave me health again. And do some more tabliq, Allah said. That's why I'm sat here giving bayan in front of you. I'm telling the truth. So life, death is in Allah's hands. Allah can call us back whenever He wants. We have no guarantee. Value this life. Today do true tawbah, repentance after today, our eyes, mouth, hands, totally we will control them. Whatever we do, we should... What have you got doubt in, haram, throw it away, distribute it, and just keep that money with you that you consider is halal, and have yaqeen in these words if we really do have belief. Because that's what is tawbah, repentance, by leaving the doubtful and the unlawful. This is haram, this is wrong, I need to leave this, stop this action, ask that person for forgiveness, totally purify, clean yourself, even if £100 left in your pocket, you'd be happy with that. Final darajat, Allah will go, I am ready for that. You should say that. I'm ready for this, Allah, for the struggle. It doesn't matter if I lose things in the dunya, the time will pass. If I've got doubt in my cars, my houses, haram, unlawful assets, throw them away and then live the life like this and be happy. But whoever does not do this, then just close your eyes and wait for hell. I'm telling you, that's the reality. Do as many umrah as you want, do many sajdas as you want, do whatever action you want. No chance. Two things, the darkness and light cannot be combined together. Sun and the moon, they can't orbit together. Whatever Allah has promised, that I will definitely take the people of Iman out of hell eventually, even if you have the Iman particles, atoms, wait. But the sins you bring after death, you will have to burn in hell. Can we burn in hell? Better to ask Allah forgiveness now. Leave the sins now. At least ask Allah for forgiveness now. That's it, the sins will go and crush your desires. If there's even a doubt that this is wrong, this is doubtful of taking somebody's right, say this is wrong, here take this. Oh, this is haram for me, unlawful, here take this, I don't want this. Ooh, this, why am I doing this? Take this back, please. I do intoxication. I will die if I do it after today. I won't do it. There was a big shair, Jigar Muradabadi. He was a shair. He used to drink alcohol. He was an alcoholic. And somebody gave him dawah. Where? Mohinuddin Chishti in the mazar. Go to his mazar. And that, mashallah, you do great ghazals, he said, recite good verses, go. He said, I'm an alcoholic person. Why are you sending me here to the great Wali Allah, Mu'inuddin Chishti, that I go and recite the nasheed there? And then he said, no, please come recite your nasheed here. He said, okay. I don't know what is it. I'm being invited. He tried and he wrote the nasheed, just like happened with me. And he wrote the nasheed after writing the naath. He was about to go. People made noise. Oh, the alcoholic you brought to the gathering. Why have you brought to them? We'll kill him. He's alcoholic. Hide him. And Jigar Muradabadi, he went into hiding. He knew that at least he's come. We'll kill him if he comes together. That who can bring him to the stage? There's such a great Wali Allah is here, and you're bringing this alcoholic here, this dirty person, sinful. He's this and that. He's sinful. They criticized him. But as I said to you, tawbah, it finishes everything. So the other party said, no, we brought him here now. Let's give him a chance. We've hidden him. So when the jalsa started, then they took him and stood him there. And he was alcoholic. But he had written the nasheed, the naath, subhanallah. And whoever praises the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah ta'ala changes the heart of that person. And so not a person can praise anyone normal can't praise the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that it's not that you can pay for it and get that skill to write the nasheed. He came, he said, look, he's reciting Jigar Muradabadi I'm talking about. And mashallah, have adab, because people know about his maqam. Yes, he wrote ghazals, but in maqam he said, look, the situation is such that you know all about me, I drink alcohol, I'm sinful, but at least listen to one of my nasheeds. Not. And then everyone calmed down, cooled down. They said, okay, let's listen to you. He said, I plead my hands together, I've come here, I've arrived here, I won't come here after that, but I've written a naat, please listen to it. Then they listened, okay, we'll listen to you. So when he wrote 5 or 6 lines, then people started to cry. The yar, this alcoholic, he's written such great lines, nasheed, praising the Prophet. Soon as the naat finished, then he said, in front of you all, I do tawbah, I repent, after today I will not drink alcohol again. He said, I leave this sin. He said, I will not drink alcohol again. He said, I've recited this naat about my Nabi, and it's been accepted in this gathering. So this is the faz of this Chishti Sheikh, and I will not drink the alcohol again. He said, I'll die, and mashallah, I will stay true to my promise. Then mashallah, the doctor will say, don't drink two sips, and otherwise you die. He said, I won't even touch it. This is that mashallah, people, they drink all night long, smoke cannabis all night long, pray salah, leave the cannabis. If you die, die. You'll cough and die. You'll be shaheed. If you are shaheed, martyr. Yes. Then subhanallah, Allah says that leave the sin. That okay, fine. If I leave alcohol, I'm not going to smoke cannabis today. I'm not going to smoke cocaine. I'm not going to smoke drugs. People, they start struggling. They struggle, but you'll be shaheed. That's the darjah you'll get. You just have to go to hospital. Worst case, he'll give you an injection, or he's passed away. You say subhanallah. There is a shaheed, the janazah of this person who shunned the sins. So you get chances in life. Isn't it, Mawlana Sahib? That from either you want to do both sin and practice, or you want to reject the sins. Subhanallah, Jigar Muradabadi was an ashik, his naats, he wrote after that. And then he forgot what he used to read after. Then he started to praise the Prophet after his tawbah. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. So mashallah, you've understood the whole topic today. What is that? What's the summary? Is that we have to immerse ourselves in Allah's remembrance, not just be associated with it. Allah's given us the gift of dhikrullah. So to make our dhikr give us full benefit, tranquility, we must reject the sins. That's it. And then see you today, after today, who changes life, who goes towards hunger and poverty and running after dunya. If you run after dunya, then you're in deception. And you will get nothing in thereafter. Wa akhru dawana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Straightforward. I don't talk like Mawlana Sahib's that you're forgiven and this and that. Straightforward discussion. Okay? Let's do some dhikrullah now.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salamu wa salamu ala سيد المرسلين شفيع المرسلين طه ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته بعد بعده كما صلينا على آل إبراهيم وسلم تسليما دائما ابدا كثيرا 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 اللهم ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين اللهم سمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان ما شئنا يوم القيامة والإيمان اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبنا بسنتي ونفعنا بمحبتي واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اكتهاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع ولياتنا يا جامع الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم اعفنا في سمعي اللهم اعفنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستعين اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.